Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
7-1, the next 8. Here we go.
Sure.
7-1.
And 11-1, Boston. It's been a 7-run 8th inning.
Hey, lock it up.
All right, so have you learned everything you need to know about the Blue Jackets?
John Tortorella has gone over to the Calgary Flames hallway outside their room.
I'll tell you right now, this room smells of B.O.
Have you ever fought before?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
He f***ed his pants, he was puking, he was doing everything.
Okay, he's got to calm down.
Yep.
So f***ing screw it on it straight here.
Yeah, we'll just kind of stick to the draft for right now.
I'm ready. Anyone ready to run it back? I think he's sending a message to the Patriots, to the fans, like, you know what? I'm still here.
What's up, guys?
Crazy Ben Volen has a wacky theory.
But the caption, the I'm ready. I'm ready.
I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Shut up
stuff.
With that
right now.
They whip out their Lombardi trophies and their
what?
Super Bowl rings.
Careful what you whip out.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
I'll tell you one part, entertaining part of this next series coming up is going to be John Tortorella. Torts, as they like to call him. Local guy.
Yeah, he's good.
Local guy.
Good quarterer.
Yeah, Concord Carlisle guy. And because I think he might even be more entertaining, because my guess is growing up here, must have been a Bruins fan when he was a kid, right? Growing up, you would think.
Yeah, maybe. Assume, maybe.
So, and he's bounced around. He's been with the Rangers, with Vancouver. He was with, Tampa? He was with Tampa Bay as well. So he's bounced around, and he's a pretty good coach, but he's crazy. A little volatile, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I do too. And the funny thing is, he is not shy about, for an example, attacking other players. So if a player says something about one of his players or about his team, most coaches would take the high road and ignore it and sit there going, I don't want to get into it. He goes right at that player.
Winnipeg, obviously, down the middle then with everything that you are dealing with coming into this first matchup against them tonight.
Dealing with what? Meaning?
Just the overall group and what you see from the Jets and how your club's playing.
It's a good team. Tonight. It's a good team we're playing. And it was a god-awful team that I coached the other night. So hopefully we'll answer the proper way.
Did you feel like they feel the same way?
Who?
Your team.
They better, or they'll get their ass kicked.
Yeah, see, I like it. The post game's going to be good.
Yeah, he curses out his own team. So if his team plays crappy, he won't say crappy. He'll say the S word, and he'll force everybody to bleep it out. And if you're picking it up live,
beautiful.
The press conference is beautiful. It's great. So it's like you here in the studio. Every
no,
once
it's
in a while, you just kind of lose it. See if you can find one, Ryan, where he's ripping a player on the other team because a player on the other team, because he does that all the time.
Well, he curses out his own team a lot. I like that one.
Yeah, he does. But a lot of times he'll attack a player on the other team, and then it's even better when he attacks somebody else for making fun of a player on his team when he, as the coach, is making fun of the player on the other team. So I would say hypocrite.
Oh, be good. Press conference would be good. He'll be yapping it up left and right.
Great.
Yeah, I know. He'll go after the media. I don't know. Get that one with Tyler. Give me the one with Ryan. Give me the one with Brooksy, because I like that.
Oh, that the writer.
Yeah, the writer. Yeah.
Should one of their guys have taken a third man in?
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
You're not?
No.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'll speculate.
You speculate and be as sarcastic as you can be, as you usually are.
I will.
Go right ahead.
Good. Should one of you guys have taken the third man up?
I said I'm not taking your answering any of your questions. No. Have you ever found you?
Okay.
You know, Redden sticks up for his teammates the other night.
Yeah.
And you come out with some sarcastic article?
It was funny.
It was funny?
Yeah. Well, you know what?
You're probably beat up in the bus stop most of the time.
I think so, huh?
Next.
The late second period goal.
Even though you're a great representative of the city. You know that?
Will you let these other guys just go stand somewhere else, would you please?
No, I won't.
He'll do that. He'll go at the media. If he doesn't like the question, he will go right at the media.
That's good.
So it's really entertaining, and hopefully we'll get some of that.
Get out of my face. I don't mean to bust your thing, but my gosh.
John, the news on Boone Jenner, how will that impact?
You know, I don't know why you get the information. I'm not talking about injuries. Talk about the game.
No, but how will it impact your lineup tonight?
You know how it'll impact it. He's an important guy.
I'm not sure what the lineup's going
to
be.
Is it nice to have a bunch of centers that in that situation you can go?
I've got one center playing. One.
The need to get those guys warm.
I've got one center playing. One.
Just the level of frustration with these.
I've got one center playing.
How many? How many centers you got?
Hey, one center playing.
Hey, I can't wait. It'll be good.
It's great.
Like, I hope the refs screw it up. You know, I hope there's a bad call. And he shreds the refs. I hope. You know, whatever. We'll see. We'll get into it, though. It'll be good.
He's close. They love him in Columbus. Everywhere he's gone, they've loved him initially, and then they finally get tired of him. With the Rangers, you know, the New York media, and you just heard some
of
that.
Who's not loved up in Toronto?
Who's that?
Jake DeBrusk. Did you see this story?
I'm not buying the story.
What do you mean, I'm not buying it? You got death threats during the series?
Everybody gets death threats on Twitter. I hate to say it, but we already talked about Twitter earlier. It is a cesspool.
No, I agree with that. I mean, we don't know the details of it. He does bring up at one point, talks about, you know, when the family gets involved. I can't imagine being an athlete during the age of Twitter. I really can't, because it is true. They don't, you know, they come at you and you sign up for it and that's fine. They can come after you all they want. They can say, I hope you die. Like, I don't consider that like a death threat. A death threat is sort of like, I know what hotel you're in. I know your room. I'm going to come here. I'm going to shoot you tonight. You know, you're like, holy Jesus. You know, what the hell is this? Who's this psycho on the other end? Is he serious or not? But your family starts getting involved, then maybe they'll start, you know, DeBrusk, obviously, whatever, not married with kids.
I said, it's a cesspool. And you know what it is. We've seen this before. And so they're all pissed up. We're pissed off up in Toronto because they lost Kadri. And so they were blaming it on DeBrusk, even though it wasn't his fault. It was Kadri's fault. He was the dope. He was the one that got himself suspended. So fans are crazy, and Twitter is a cesspool.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
Thank you, Teddy. And so the threats were on Twitter and on Instagram. Pretty much anywhere I looked, DeBrusk said, I got the apps off my phone. I didn't really need to see that. So there was no situation where they had to call in authorities or whatever for protection for him, correct? He just had idiots, a-holes, on Twitter who was sitting there basically saying, you know, I'm going to take you out or do something. That's what they were doing. But that happens all the time. So are we supposed to take seriously anybody on Twitter who does something like that or says something like that? You've probably had it happen to you on Twitter.
Of course,
yes,
all do.
Right.
That's why when you know,
so is that a death threat?
No, that's why when you see some of the stories, and next thing you know, it's a 60-minute interview, and it's like, you know, I'm going to read these mean tweets, and everyone's like, oh my God, and everybody gets those.
Nobody does.
If you're on Twitter, and you know, if you're sitting here talking 4 hours, just spewing words, yeah. Of course.
How many sweet tweets do you get?
Not many.
Where I sit there and they say, Lou, you're wonderful. You're terrific.
1 out of 100?
Oh, you had a caller today. He said he's in love with
you. Yeah, but he don't tweet at me.
But how many of those do you have? Those are the ones they should actually read because they're far and few between. So do I think that the Toronto social media activity was rampant up a notch or two with DeBrusk? Absolutely. Did they say nasty, awful things to him? Yes. There are stories out there now that he got death threats. Were those serious death threats? Because if that were the case, if they were death threats, why am I not reading in the story that law enforcement got involved in this?
Right.
Why did he not have protection? Because if these were serious death threats, or they were considered serious, he should have had
the
protection,
problem is
security.
Yeah, I understand. So, like you said, you never know who's on the other side. You really don't. Somebody tweets at you, DeBrusk, I hope you die. DeBrusk, I'll kill you. You know what I mean? Like, it's on Twitter.
I've had those in the last half hour.
Oh, my God. I know. But it's, like you said, never got to the point where he just turned everything off, which is the smart move. Smart move. But you just never know this day.
I'll tell you I'll tell you the other thing. Any guy that's going to be drafted in the NFL draft tonight, do yourself a favor. Go back and delete everything that you have on Twitter right now. Everything. Because we're going to have that story tomorrow, Lou, you know it, or yes, we're going to have it on Saturday.
There'll be somebody.
That somebody now got drafted.
Remember that poor kid, the tackle down in Miami? I say poor kid, yeah, Tunsil, but his, was it his stepdad who tweeted out the video of him with that mask on, smoking weed?
Yes, yes. Smoking pot.
It was like 30 minutes before the draft started. Yes. It was like, oh my God.
But you know, we're going to read a story of somebody who's got some racist thoughts or something like that from years ago, and it's going to come out. So just erase everything. Start all over.
How about this one, by the way? Speaking of the draft tonight, we already had that one tweet where they said that, I think Florio had it where, there it is right here, Pro Football Talk. Florio has, per source, NFL Network ESPN reporters have been instructed not to report the identity of the first overall pick before it's made tonight. We are 3 hours away, and we still don't know who's going to go number one. This one from Darren Revelle. He says, ESPN has told agents that they will not show their client on the NFL draft broadcast from homes or parties if there is a sponsorship brand logo anywhere within camera's path. So the kid's sitting in his living room, you know, and like he's got, you know, whatever. He's wearing like a Gatorade t-shirt. Or
quick,
like
hide
a
the Mountain Dew.
Gatorade banner or this is something Nike, whatever. We're not going to your house.
So you tell me. You don't think the National Football League is clamping down? I think Mort is crazy. They're going out of their way to see if they can get everybody tuning in. My guess is the research tells them that maybe they're not getting the big hit at 8 o'clock because everybody knows the number one pick. So I'm gonna join you at 8:15, 8:20, 8:30, whatever. Here's another one. We were just talking about the tweets out there. Nick Bosa is the number one pick, and I have read that Nick Bosa seems to be a Trump guy.
He was the one that said, I'm going to stop tweeting about Trump.
Correct.
Because I might get drafted by San Francisco.
Correct. So Mike Freeman has tweeted this out. Nick Bosa has been following white nationalist accounts with some of the most vile and disgraceful content you'll see. There's other disturbing things he's done on social media. A black player who did the equivalent would see his draft stock tumble like Nadia Comaneci, yet crickets.
Go get your pillowcase, put your holes in it because you are a racist.
So the first part, I don't know why he goes black player doing the equivalent. Would see his draft stock fall. I don't know. But listen, Bosa, yeah, obviously he's got to clean up his stuff on Twitter. You know, I mean, I don't know, is it going to affect his draft status? Probably not.
Brilliant. I don't think he's saying that the black player would be following white nationalist accounts. I'm not sure what he's talking about there. He's trying to present it that it's different for Nick. It goes back to the Trump stuff.
It's back to white guilt.
Exactly.
If the black player Tunsil was caught with a mask smoking weed, and to be honest with you, the Dolphins sat there and they were just like, perfect. He's going to drop to us.
Yeah.
That's great.
You know what I mean? He's going to drop to us.
Yeah.
If he was, you know, whatever. I don't care. I'm going to get a good player.
Yeah.
But I don't know if...
So does anybody believe because Bosa has been following some accounts? And do you know every account that he follows? So is it possible that he's following a lot of different people from a wide political spectrum? Is that possible? Maybe. I don't know. Anybody expect that Nick Bosa's stock is supposed to fall follows people?
If I'm drafting him, I'm looking into that as well. I don't want to draft some nut job.
No, you don't want to draft a nut job.
Disturb my team. I would be concerned by this, but we all know it's all about talent. When you're talking about possibly the number one pick, if it's not Kyler Murray, or number two, you know, we're not talking about a kid that's 18 that might drop to like 30. You know, we're talking about number one pick in the draft, number two pick in the draft, best defensive player in the draft. And I would still do my homework on it because I wouldn't want this kid in my locker room if he's a mess.
So I saw it already earlier today. It was compared to Colin Kaepernick. And, of course, Kaepernick is treated differently. Well, Kaepernick did something. Kaepernick made a stance on the national anthem in which the league and a lot of people did not want to see him do. So there's a difference of like that, isn't
this
there?
Kid's number, like I said, potentially number one pick in the draft.
He's more talented than Kaepernick.
If Kaepernick was the top five quarterback in the league, he'd still have a job.
Absolutely.
No.
It always comes down to that. It always comes down to talent, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Always comes down to talented. So get ready for that tonight with Nick Bosa. But getting back to the DeBrus stuff, and we were talking about Twitter. This is Twitter. He's 22 years old. He grew up in Edmonton. He's a pro athlete. He's a public figure. So he understands how fan interactions can go sideways. But enough is enough. This is from the Globe today. It didn't really get to me, but it was kind of just there. And it wasn't really stopping. I tried to diffuse it, especially when it gets to family. It gets different. I understand that. That's not good when it gets to family. I don't think there's really a time or a place for death threats, but it's 2019 social media. So DeBrus seems to understand what it is. There's people who are on the other side of that as well.
Well, I would say he handled it right. Just
get off.
Delete your accounts or whatever.
Told you.
Get off. get off the social media. You're in the NHL playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs. You want to jump back on the summertime? So be it. There's really no need. There's no need to deal with that. If you're an athlete right now in today's world, just get off social media until your job's done.
Somebody brings up a good point. Maybe all these leaks that are going to Mike Freeman now about Bosa following these accounts, it might be by a team that's drafting about 10th or 11th or 12th, hoping that he's going to drop. And he's going to drop right on their lap. Because some people think that Nick Bosa still could be the number one pick in the draft.
No more leaks.
So we don't have any leaks. We can't tell you. Nope. I've never seen anything like this before.
How about this one? So Jeff Howe, the last three or four years, has destroyed draft night.
He's been unbelievable.
You know, and you could see unbelievable. He's,
crickets
he's,
tonight
he's ruined
from
it for you, whatever you want to call it. But he's been on top of it, and you've talked a lot about Jeff Howe because he's been giving you the picks before they happen. So he tweeted this out. A little bit ago, he said, as much of a fan I was of ruining the TV show the last 4 years, I won't be doing it this weekend. My choice alone. I got too much else to handle the next few nights. Sorry to everyone who's been asking. So he won't be tweeting out picks. And I actually just didn't believe him. You know, so I just said, I don't know if maybe his source was threatened because it seems like the league doesn't want this stuff to come out.
But we thanked him for his service, too.
And he says, nope, they had threats a couple years ago. I kept going. It's as simple as the tweet says. So Jeff Howe made the personal choice to not bring attention to himself or his website or his employer, The Athletic. On a night like tonight, he's just choosing not to do it?
I don't buy it.
I find that extremely hard to believe.
I don't buy it. He's been diligent about it over the last few years.
If I'm his employer, I wouldn't be happy about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
That's
been,
your choice to follow him on social media.
He's been great at it the last few years. He has simply had his source because the NFL is clamping down. They want no communication. They want no leaks. And so his guy has told him, sorry, Jeff, I can't do it tonight. I'll get fired. The commissioner's, you know, bugging all of us. We're all being bugged. There's microphones everywhere. They're concerned about it. This is a major thing the National Football League is doing today. And Florio already came out today and said that the NFL Network and ESPN, and I guess to an extent ABC, because it's part of the ESPN family, they're doing it tonight as well, that they're not going to leak any of this stuff. None of this stuff is going to come out before the commissioner, who wants full attention on him, comes out to the
podium. See, I don't understand this at all because, you know, if I'm Adam Schefter and I know they're taking Kyler Murray and my employer's like, you can't come out with it. Okay, so guess who does? Jay Glazer.
The focus should be on football.
Right? It's Fox, Yahoo, CBS.
Well, but wait a minute.
Someone who's going to make a name for themselves tonight because they're going to have this information. And then it's going to make Schefter look bad, and it's his employer if they're the ones telling him you can't do this, even though he already has it.
Okay, so
his job is to get news.
Yeah, but you can shut him off from behind the stage. The only thing that happens before the commissioner makes that announcement is that the individual player gets a phone call from that team. So we'll see that tonight where somebody's getting a phone call. You project that maybe that team, Green Bay, is going to select so-and-so, and you see him on the phone, and he's smiling and he's laughing, and his mother's next to him or his girlfriend, and they're all smiling.
You think Schefter and Ian Rappaport, it's 5:15, don't know who's going number one tonight?
I
find that extremely hard to believe.
I do, too. So why are they not leaking this out? Why are they not saying it? Have you ever seen this before?
Hold on.
Maybe years ago before, you know, we had open communication and social media, but I don't even remember it then. In those days, you always knew who was going to be the first pick in a draft for the NBA, NFL, or whatever, or it certainly would get leaked on the day of. How is this possible that nobody is sitting there and leaking it out? And the matter of fact, they're keeping this us in suspense where they're almost leaning towards there's a possibility that Arizona might trade that number one pick and not take Murray and hold on to Josh Rosen.
That's a possibility.
Yes. How is that possible that here we are, we're less than 3 hours away?
I tell you, if I am, and we went at this before tonight, and obviously it won't happen until day two because it's not going to be until a second round pick, but doesn't that hurt this trade stock of Josh Rosen? Like, if you don't have a trade set up before you take the first pick, you know, and you draft Kyler Murray, because you only can get a second-round pick for him. Doesn't that hurt the stock? The other team sitting there going, you just drafted Kyler Murray last night. You have to trade Josh Rosen.
Unless you have
a bunch of teams involved.
Listen carefully, Munt. Unless you have leverage.
What is leverage?
Leverage would have three teams all wanting him.
See,
so you play one against the other.
Here's why I think that the Patriots should get involved, because Tommy Kahn wrote about it today. If he was there last year at 31, would they have been interested? Yeah. So now you got the player. Maybe you have to give up maybe your last second-round pick. Yeah. And if more importantly, if I'm the Cardinals, okay, Steve Keim is the general manager, correct?
Yes.
He's had a tough go of it lately.
A little DUI.
So
problem.
He signed an extension in February of 2018 that runs through 22. In July of 2018, he got busted for DUI. They suspended him for 5 games and fined him for $200,000. He fired Steve Wilks after 1 year. Not a good look, right? Took a lot of heat on that one. Then he hires Cliff Kingsbury. A gamble, you would say, correct?
Yes.
A little gamble. So now he's sitting there saying, okay, I think we want Kyler Murray. So what should I do? I'm going to trade Josh Rosen to, let's just say, the Giants. Let's say he starts with the Giants, and the Giants go 9-7 and make the playoffs. And Kyler Murray struggles his rookie year with his first-year manager that this guy just hired. Sometimes it's about protecting your ass. So if you're Steve Keim, would you rather do that, or would you rather trade him for maybe a less pick to New England, where he sits for a couple years behind Brady and allows you as a general manager and a new head coach and a young quarterback to develop, gives him a little bit more time, maybe a couple years before Josh Rosen starts and you find out if he's good or bad. It just buys him more time. I tell you, if I'm him and the Pats are interested and maybe the pick is 15, 20 picks away from somebody else, I'm sending him to New England to protect my own ass.
The best part of your take is that Steve Keim is on the hot seat here, and maybe he's a little scared and he views it that way. But unless Belichick absolutely thinks that this guy is a terrific player, despite what we watched last year through 13 games that he started in, there's no way that Belichick is going to do this.
You think he drafts a quarterback in the first two or three rounds?
Third round, probably, or fourth round. He's got
second round, you'd be shocked?
I wouldn't say shocked, but it would surprise me, yes.
Well, I'm just saying, say it's Will Greer.
If Greer's there, maybe.
Say it's a kid with NC State. I don't even know what the hell that kid's name is.
I don't either.
Yeah.
It goes to show you how much we know. To me, it's more likely, and I've already said it, that they're going to take that 32nd pick in the draft, and Belichick's going to move down. The only thing that concerns me is that the Rams at 31 are trying to do the exact same thing right now, because they're looking at it. There will be teams out there that have a player on the board. They're sitting there. They want to tie him up for 5 years. They're weaker teams. They really need that player for 5 years because they're not going to turn their team around in the next couple of years. And they want that last 31 or 32nd pick in the draft. Belichick, to me, is going to use something like that to add more assets, because he looks at the second, third, and fourth round, and even more importantly, he looks at moving stuff to next year, because now next year he may need that quarterback. And that pick that he gets next year is a first-round draft pick, maybe with a team that has a bad season next year, and it turns out to be a damn good pick. I think he's more likely to do that. I think the people that thought he was going away after this season and retire were crazy. Bill's not only thinking of this year, he's thinking of the year after and the year after and the year after, because he's still here long term. So I think that's what's going to happen. I don't think Brady's ready to go out to pasture. And as I told you, I think you have as good a shot of Jimmy Garoppolo being the heir apparent, the guy that takes over for Tom Brady, as you have anybody in this year's draft.
You do. No, you do. I mean, that scenario you always talk about could play out, but what if he comes back healthy and plays well and they keep him? So I just like to see them, just get creative with the position. Keep taking shots. Like, just somebody new in here from Denny Etling. He's not a good NFL quarterback, right? I mean, everything you hear about him, he's not the guy. So, you want to draft a guy, or you want to spend
I don't think they have the guy right now.
Keep taking a shot. That's all. You're not going to it's not going to happen with Tom Brady what happened, right? Back then. But you just keep taking a shot and getting a look at a guy for a year or two. After a year or two, Bill knows. So you draft a kid, or you get Rosen after a couple years. The next year you draft another kid. And you just get to watch all these guys for the next 2 or 3 years while Tom's still playing. Hoyer will be gone. You have a couple young kids maybe behind him. Maybe Rosen's the lead backup just because he's got more experience. He's actually been in a huddle. And you'll find out. Maybe one of them can play. And you're taking shots. Keep taking shots at it.
Well, you can't expect that you're going to duplicate what you did in the sixth round with Tom Brady. I heard they were doing draft hits and draft bust earlier today with Dale and Keith. You tell me, was there a bigger draft than Tom Brady's draft of any in the history of the National Football League? You took a sixth-round pick. He turned out to be the greatest player to ever play the game.
No, that's not.
You're not
going
to duplicate. You're not going to get anywhere close to that. So anybody that thinks you're going to come close to duplicating Tom Brady, but can you get a top 10 quarterback in the league? That is your next quarterback, top 12 quarterback, and maybe you're better defensively. Maybe you're better in other areas. Yeah, I think you can do that. But I'm not sure I'm going out there and taking Josh Rosen and suddenly say, I need to duplicate the Brady experience.
I wouldn't have an issue. They got so many picks in that 2-3 area, 4, whatever it is, if they took a shot at one of those guys. And if giving up one of those picks for Rosen, so be it. And take a swing at it for the next few years. I mean, Russell Wilson was a third-round pick, right? Kirk Cousins was, a third or fourth-round pick the year they drafted RG3. You know, and just keep kind of living in that area. Hey, maybe you find a guy for a couple years.
I think you can find those guys.
Well, start now. What are you going to wait for 1 year and hopefully you do it one right the first time?
I'm not giving up the 32nd pick in the draft for that guy.
Not 32nd. You don't have to give up a 32nd. It's going to happen on Friday. It's going to be a second-round pick.
For Rosen?
Last second-round pick?
I'm not sure I'm ready to. I'm not sure I'm ready to do that either. I don't think I am. I'm not ready to do that. Does that make any sense to get Rosen right now? I mean, if there are two or three other teams, let's say the Giants are interested in him, and apparently they are, and they're very interested in him. Now suddenly that's going to drive the price up. I just don't.
Unless you don't want to give him to the Giants because he ends up starting and make you look bad.
No, that part of it, I agree, makes some sense. I just think everybody wants a sexy draft or a sexy trade here, and they want a quarterback. You've got a quarterback. They'll be able to find, I believe that Belichick will be able to find a guy. If Brady plays another 2 or 3 years without even going into the draft, he will find somebody out there that will be that bridge for you, and then you're not as good a team, so now you're drafting higher up in the draft, and now that's when you go for the quarterback. I just think
that Bill would like to be. Remember back when Garoppolo was here, he said we have the best quarterback situation in the league?
And what about Greg Bedard's guy? Can we get him?
Who?
Who's the guy?
Tyree Jackson.
No.
6'7".
Yeah.
No, but
the guy from the University of Buffalo.
Oh, that kid.
Third round, yeah.
Oh, the kid that's in this year's draft. I saw him at the combine. Kid's enormous.
This kid, yeah.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that Bill always talked about we have the best quarterback situation in the league because we had Tom and Garoppolo. I think that makes him sleep at night. I don't know. I would think that maybe he would want that. And he knows that Edling's not the guy and Hoyer's not the guy.
Well, Hoyer's not the guy, but they specifically, when they made the Garoppolo deal, made sure they included Hoyer because the one thing that they knew about...
They needed somebody quick.
Exactly.
Timing.
And somebody that knew what they were doing.
Well, mid-season, what the hell? Yeah, I need a backup that knows something about it. But now here we are, year three. And it's like, all right, what are we doing?
Yeah, but they have him for another year.
Okay,
And they're paying him...
Get rid of Edling. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but they're not going to have three guys on the roster.
Why not?
They're going to put three quarterbacks on this roster?
Well, they've never done it before.
No, they've done it before. They had four when it was Tom Brady. So that's my point.
Jacoby Brissett, you, Jimmy Garoppolo, before they traded away both of them, but for a year they had all three.
You really have to love Josh Rosen to be able to do it. I don't know. In what I saw of Josh Rosen last year, you tell me. You saw something in Josh Rosen that you really liked?
I didn't see anything with Josh Rosen. But let me add, first year for Jared Goff. Do you see anything there?
You keep on going back to Jared Goff.
Well, I mean, it's a perfect example.
But I can give you a dozen guys that sucked in the first year, and guess what? They sucked in the second year. Let's take any Buffalo quarterback in the last two decades.
But Jared Goff fits my argument.
And they all sucked. Huh. All right, we're going to give away a pair of Red Sox tickets. The ninth caller right now. At 617-931-0-937 wins a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox. Ooh, this is a good one. Take on Tampa Bay Rays on Sunday, April 28th. You also get a parking pass for the Prudential Center Garage. It's all part of Free Ticket Thursday. That's what today is. And you also qualify for a $50 Red Sox Team Store gift card. It's brought to you by Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. The ninth caller right now, 617-931-0-937. You win tickets during Free Ticket Thursday. We have no Bruins tickets to give away today?
That's fresh out.
It was good yesterday, huh? Giving Bruins
tickets. So after having Jimmy Garoppolo for 2 years, they drafted Jacoby Brissett in the third round.
Right.
So the whole they don't keep three quarterbacks kind of thrown out the window, right?
No, they've done it. There's no question they've done it before, but I don't think he likes to do it because on the whole, and you saw what they did with Edling. They put him on the practice squad.
I would just like to see them get rid of Edling and bring in somebody whether it's one of those second-round picks or third, fourth, whatever it is, fifth, something, just look at a different body. If you know that guy's not the answer, get rid of him. Bring in another body behind Hoyer. Hoyer can still be the primary backup this year because he's got the experience, but I think it's time just to get another guy.
All right, so it was 1 year fair because they brought to the NFL for 1 year your guy Jared Goff, and under Jeff Fisher, he sucked. He was awful. He had people
Steve
around
Wilkes
him.
Sucks.
Huh?
Maybe it was Steve Wilkes' fault.
Maybe it was. So I'm not sure you can learn it in 1 year. I'm not sure you can tell. I just don't think there's any urgency right now to do it. And I think what people are doing is they're looking at the chronological age of Tom Brady and saying he's 1 year older and he's going to fall apart. All I know is that
you know what, though? You can't fault people for that. It is the reality.
Sure it is.
And he could very well play for the next 4 years.
Sure, but the last 4 years we've been saying this about him, right? But the one thing we do know right now...
Yeah, but you had Jimmy Garoppolo behind him. Last year was the only time he really kind of went without a net.
Yeah, and Jimmy Garoppolo is the one guy that couldn't stay upright, okay?
Yep.
Brady has been healthy, and Jimmy Garoppolo has not been healthy. Matter of fact, there are a lot of young quarterbacks that have not completed 16 games.
If you're Bill, and for about 3 years, you felt good about your quarterback situation... You know, last year, you won the Super Bowl, but I wonder if he still felt comfortable about it. Because last year was the first time, once you go 3 years and having a guy back up that you feel good about, and then he's no longer there, and you look behind him and you say, Hoyer, he's a veteran, I like the guy personally, you know, but, man, I'm not as comfortable as I was the last three years.
So
like, once you feel that, it's hard to go back. So I think maybe he wants to feel it again.
Okay.
Go get somebody.
You can find quarterbacks in the third, fourth. We've already said it. Sixth-round draft pick. Once in a lifetime, you can find one of those guys. So don't you think you have a better opportunity if you have a higher first-round draft pick of getting one of those quarterbacks? The teams that are going to have a shot at one of the quarterbacks that are highly rated this year are going to be teams that are in the upper end of the first round of the draft. So if you're Belichick and you've got all of these assets, why not deal them or deal some of them so that you can get some of that real estate in the first round maybe next year?
Yeah, from but a what team you're talking about I think good? Is unrealistic.
Why?
And I know it's kind of unpredictable.
Why not
but,
push everything forward?
Well, I mean, you're not going to give up 32 in 2019 to a team that sucks and get four next year from them.
No, but maybe what you end up doing is you add a second-round pick, maybe a third-round pick by moving down. You've got the chart in front of you. And then what you end up doing is taking one of your seconds, one of your thirds or whatever, to a team that right now sees a player on the board or a couple players that they want and pitch it for a first for next year. So you can play the game the other way. And that team turns out what that team thought their pick in the first round was going to be low, and then next year they find out they suck. A couple of big injuries, and now you move up the ladder. I mean, Belichick likes doing this. He likes moving everything forward a year. And if you look, you have a better shot of getting that quarterback next year. Unless, if you really want a quarterback this year, why not take 32nd and a bunch of these other seconds and third and move up the board this year? Then you can get one of those quarterbacks, right? You can get one of those guys.
Well, yeah, it depends. I mean, you're not going to get Haskins or Murray. You're not going to go up that high. I mean, do you really like Daniel Jones that much?
I don't know if they do. It's irrelevant whether you or I like him. We haven't seen him enough, but maybe they do.
How many quarterbacks go in the first round? Four?
Five.
Five?
Five.
Jeez.
Somebody wrote that today. Five, I believe.
Five, huh? So Haskins, yeah. Murray, Daniel Jones, Locke, and Greer?
Yep.
I don't know. Three, maybe four. Maybe trade up late in that first round to get a fourth.
Would it surprise you at all if Belichick at number 32 has one of those teams that's dying for a quarterback, need to have a quarterback to win in the NFL, and at number 32, one of those quarterbacks goes at 32, but he goes to another team?
No, not at all.
Yep. That's Bill. That's the type of stuff Belichick is more likely to do. All right, we get back to the phone call, 617-779-7937. The Bruins on the table with Game 1 tonight. We're talking about the NFL draft coming up as well right here on OMF.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast. I think the show's been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not stretch like
Tom. Where's he gonna f***ing end?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule your free pickup, 877-CARS with a K, 4KIDS, or at carsforkids.com. Tyreek Hill has released a statement here regarding this investigation. I love and support my family above anything. My son's health and happiness is my number one priority. I want to thank the Kansas City Chiefs, my attorney, my agent, my union for supporting me through this. My focus remains on working hard to be the best person for my family and our community that I can be, and the best player to help our team win.
Hmm. Well, it's good for him. So I was just reading this, and his lawyers actually sent out, they spoke as well. So they say, contrary to some media reports, Tyreek cooperated with law enforcement, waived his Fifth Amendment rights. You remember Florio yesterday said he invoked it, and neither one of them spoke. His lawyer says that they waived the Fifth Amendment rights, answered questions from both law enforcement and the Department for Children and Families. Unfortunately, due to the laws related to confidentiality, as much as we would like to, we cannot comment regarding specific allegations.
So how does that make any sense, Lou, that they do this investigation, child services comes in and takes away the child because they feel that the child is in harm's way, and that both he and the girlfriend, they end the investigation and basically said that a crime was committed, but we don't know who did it. And we're going to leave it at that?
Yeah, Steve Howe is a district attorney out there. And, deeply troubled with the situation, concerned with the health and welfare of the child. The boy was removed from the custody of Hill and his fiance.
Weeks ago.
Yeah, they don't know when, but I think it was weeks ago we had heard that he was out of there. He says, I know DCF is involved in this, and I'm going to let DCF handle it the way they handle it. What I can assure you, the public, is that he's safe. Bottom line is that a three-year-old boy, had his arm broken by somebody.
Yeah.
Was taken out of the house. So is anybody going to pay for breaking a three-year-old's arm? Like, don't you have to get to the bottom of it and for the safety of this child?
Sure do. I mean, and if you're the Kansas City Chiefs right now, do you just go about business as usual? Yeah, welcome back. You're fine. We're good. Because we all know how this stuff works, that later on down the road, we find out something totally different.
I mean, maybe if it's the mom,
yeah,
then you got to... We got to take care of that as well, right? I mean, unless there's a third or fourth of friend or somebody in the house, but if it's just the two, Tyreek Hill and his fiance, and the three-year-old boy and his son broke his arm, enough for DCF to come in and take the child out of their custody. Does somebody have to get to the bottom of it for this child?
I think there's a lot more to this story. And I still question how much you're going to see Tyreek Hill next year with the Kansas City Chiefs. There's just too much to the story. Unless it was the girlfriend's fault, she did it, he had nothing to do with it, and, you know, right now he's just not ratting her out, right? And if that's the case, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, do you just welcome this guy back with open arms when the girlfriend, you know now...
All I'm saying is if my son breaks his arm in the backyard playing,
yeah,
DCF's not going to take him
correct
out of the household.
Correct. They may question it, but once they find out what happened, you're right. But in this case, even if she did it, he right now is giving alibis for her, and a child was hurt. You're going to put that child back in her hands again? This makes no sense to me. Makes no sense. They haven't been able to find it out. All right, we got the NFL draft coming up tonight. I'm not sure that Bill Belichick would give out many hints as to what his team is going to do in the NFL draft, but apparently Pete Carroll is a whole different guy.
Would he do it with music?
Pete Carroll is a friendly guy. He gets behind a piano, and he sits and he tells you what he's going to do.
These are hints? Stand by
this
me?
This is Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll's playing this?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's that time of year again when we got a chance to give you some clues about our first-round draft pick coming up. Happens to be the 10th year anniversary, so we thought we'd go back to the music, and in particular that it's the 60th year anniversary of Motown for Berry Gordy and all that big show that was just on. We're going to stick with Motown tunes, and we think we got a way to do it. Now, last year, nobody figured out that it was Rashad Penny. Now, we did GIFs, and that quite challenged our following that they couldn't quite figure it out. You know, I could have put Penny Lane, the Beatles on there too. We didn't do that. We made it a little bit harder than that. So you're challenged, and we're going to challenge you again this year. Let's see who can figure it out. So good luck.
Can you see Belichick ever doing something like
that? You think
Belichick
likes riddles?
They're drafting 21st. How do you know your guy's going to be there at 21? You have no idea. So you just... There's a guy you want, and now all you're doing is you've got all of these other teams in the league figuring it out.
Is the song "Lean on Me"? Is that what I'm?
What do you think it is?
Tomorrow, lean on me.
Is it like an offensive lineman?
When you're not strong,
I have no idea. I mean, this is the goofiest thing I've ever heard.
Tyler might have it.
This is like what?
I have
what
a theory. So Bill Withers is from West Virginia.
Yeah.
Will Greer, also a quarterback from West Virginia. Seahawks going at Will Greer.
Hold on. They just signed their quarterback up for like a zillion dollars.
I'm just throwing out ideas here, Glenn.
What are we talking
just
about?
Just throwing out ideas.
Oh, this is...
And a backup quarterback.
Pete.
Insurance policy.
Pete's a fun guy, though.
Does Belichick play any insurance?
He's a fun guy. I don't want... You know what I want? I want some misery. I want a coach who's going to scream and yell at people. How about Tortorella again? I want more Tortorella for tonight's game.
Oh, how about this one?
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's I don't know. You tell me, wide receiver, it's
Lou's trying to figure it out.
Lou likes a good riddle.
No,
don't waste your time, Lou. How about this with Panarin? He's out for the game due to he apparently bleeped his pants.
Oh, what?
This is a little old, but yeah, this is classic Tortorella.
Don't do that to Bruins, man.
I was told he's sick, not eating, he's puking. You want me to go into the whole entire triad as far as what happened today with him so we can get that speculation done with as far as that he's going to be moved? His pants, he was puking, he was doing everything. So, enough. He's not playing tonight.
No, did you find out early in the morning or did you know?
Doesn't matter. He's not playing tonight. You doing a time scale or something?
Just
or?
Didn't know what time. No.
He's sick. He's sick as a dog. Yes, he's very sick. That's why he's out.
So, that's not tonight, Bruins fans. That was, I'm guessing, at the trade deadline because there's a lot of rumors of him being traded.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
When he was scratched from the lineup. Tortorella had to explain why he was scratched.
He pissed his pants. He was puking.
So there you go. That's why you like him. He's colorful.
He's going to be great in this series. He's going to be terrific. Game one coming up tonight. All right, we're Red Sox baseball is coming up next in the pregame show. So should we feel great about what happened last night? Should we feel good about
this? Yes, you should.
I should feel good about this?
No, you should, because it's the first time they opened it up. We were talking about they haven't had any blowouts.
Oh, that's right. Didn't he say that yesterday? Alex said, we need a game where we blow a team out. And they actually did that.
Yeah, Thornburg tried to give it back, but I don't know if you saw Tomasi's article today talking about all their wins. Now they desperately needed a blowout. You know, they're 9 wins this year. They're only plus 16.
Yes.
They're 9 wins, and when they win, it's like less than 2 runs.
And a lot of them have been shaky. Like, remember the line drive that hit the third base bag?
Mookie. It was a 1-0 game.
The 1-0 game with a home run early in the game.
Three-run bomb late in the eighth to make it a 4-0 game when Price threw, I think.
Right.
So they just haven't had many games. I was looking at the last in last year, in the first in their 9 wins, their first 9 wins, they outscored their opponent by 31 runs. This year, they outscored them by 16. So when they win, it's, you know. That's why last night was nice.
Lou, they're in the bottom of the league in virtually every offensive category. And the one thing I would say, and I know it's early, but here on, what is it, the 25th of April, did you ever think, even on the 25th of April, we'd be sitting here talking about the Red Sox being in the bottom of 3 or 4 in Major League
Baseball?
Bottom
third in the American League in pretty much every offensive category.
Did you ever think that would be possible?
No, never a chance.
Never?
Never a chance. This team is built on its lineup. You know, you figure they're going to be top 2 in the American League. They're built on their rotation. You figure to be top 2 in the American League. Pitching the ball better, there's no question. But swinging the bat, they got to start. They need more like last night.
They're throwing cookies right down the middle.
Well, here's the good news. the good news is that they're still early in the season. I keep on saying that. The Yankees win last night?
Yeah.
They beat the Angels again? They're 5 in a row now?
They're 14-10, I think.
Ooh.
How the hell are they doing with that team?
Do they have any professional players on the roster at this point?
Well, yeah. Wait till they get healthy.
Cameron
Maybin,
they traded for.
They did. I saw that.
That is a little scary because they have an excuse for this, and they're out west, right? They're out west playing late night.
Yeah.
And they're winning games out there.
They are.
All right, so we get the Bruins game coming up tonight, game one. We'll talk a lot about that tomorrow. We get the NFL draft coming up tonight as well, at least the first day of it. Goes on for
So what do you think they do tonight? How about this? I'm going to put you on the spot, okay, because you're boring. You think they're going to trade out, which is what the easy answer is.
Yes.
Let's say they draft a player.
I would say...
Should we just go position because I don't want to throw darts?
Defensive tackle. Defensive lineman.
Defensive lineman.
Yes. D lineman.
Running
That's where
back.
I'll go. Running back.
Yeah, they need one. They don't need one. That's why they're going to draft one.
Tight end.
So, tight end.
Yep.
So they're going to pick a tight end with number 32.
I don't know if Iowa will fall to them, both of them, but Irv Smith Jr. Tight end.
Do you feel better now that we've picked specific players? I still think they're he's bailing out.
Yeah, me too. The good news is the Bruins will be over. The Red Sox should be in the fifth inning by the time the pick comes up.
We'll catch you tomorrow, 2 p.m. We'll talk a lot about this draft and a lot about this hockey game. We're out of here.
Over. We suck.
Mutt and Callahan. It's Mutt and Callahan.
Adam Schefter, ESPN.
I believe Daniel Jones will be picked before the Patriots' turn comes up. I don't see a quarterback at 32, even though it's the defending world champion, still has as many holes as this one does. Could they take a quarterback in round 2 or 3 or 4? They're going to take a quarterback where there's a value at quarterback.
Right.
And I don't know that the value for a quarterback is going to be in round 1.
It's mornings with Mutt and Callahan. Weekday mornings starting at 5:30 on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.